broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I called him back immediately and apologized for using a word that he found offensive.
Yeah, it's not a setup. Just got done with practice.
You and the Dobbs Group have relied on the labor of exploited...
All she said was, how could you desecrate my lord?
I watched the basketball game last night.
You are so hot.
Famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Or every night, truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass to find that. We go places other talk shows can't go. They may want to go, they may talk about going there, they may, and eventually they do go someplace, but not where we go. Anyway, welcome to our program. Again, our number 877-876-PHIL, and also our website, philhendryshow.com, where we will make available to you very shortly our merchandise store. And we were going to unveil the first items in our merchandise store will be our classic Best of Phil Hendry Show CDs from days of yore. So stick around for that and get your fill of all kinds of downloads, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of archives, and including our daily videocast every night here at on our show. So you can watch the show as well as listen to it at philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Later on tonight, we have Pastor William Renick joining us to talk about what I think is a shocking story. It's the Brett Favre story. If you haven't heard, stick around. I'll give you a little taste. It is alleged that Brett Favre sent lewd pictures of himself to a reporter. It's being reported on Deadspin.com, and apparently they do have voicemail messages from Brett Favre to this woman, and apparently they have a video which shows some of these photographs. So we're going to talk about that with Pastor Renick. We're going to start out tonight. I guess we have sort of a morality play thing going on here this evening. Starting out tonight, talking with Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me. She writes for the Dicklin Syndicate, and we're going to be talking with her. We got Margaret online, too. Talking with her here about Elliot Spitzer and the fallout, Margaret, from Elliot Spitzer and Kathleen Parker's new show. And we've heard all of the comments and we've heard all of the critiques. And what did you think?
Well, I think, Phil, it was a very good first effort. I don't think that anyone comes out of the box and becomes Walter Cronkite or Bernard Shaw, who I know, Phil, you were a fan of, or... whoever it is that you think is a great news commentator as well as reporter. I don't think anyone comes out of the box setting any kind of record that way. I think it was a very good first effort. I really do. And that's based on many, many years in the news business. I think Elliot Spitzer has taken an awful lot of heat. We all know the story by now. We all know what he went through. In his effort to legitimize, to take to another level, the efforts by many people in this country to, you know, sort of get rid of the morality police. Let's talk about legalizing activities that are victimless, legalizing activities which are adult in nature. And, of course, we're talking specifically in this instance about prostitution, which Elliot Spitzer is... really, Phil, a martyr to the cause of legalizing prostitution.
Well, he lost his job as governor. He lost his job as the representative of the people. Many people, though, feel, when you say he's a martyr to this issue, many people feel betrayed.
Well, I think many people need to have their eyes open, and that's exactly what happens when you step out and you say, this is wrong, I believe that it can be better. You're going to get an awful lot of criticism. That's exactly what happened to Governor Spitzer. He stepped out. He said, this is wrong. We should have a civilized society. We can have a society of morality and a society of decency. And at the same time, if adults, grown adults, who make this decision on their own to patronize a house of prostitution, why should we arrest him? For that, he lost his job. And that's what happens, Phil, I think, to very brave people. So I am very happy to see Elliot Spitzer back with this new venture. I am very encouraged to see that at least at CNN, they're willing to give a man who lost everything because he believed in certain principles, and that they're willing to give him this job.
And well, I want to get to your comments here in a minute, but did you mention in your column Kristen Davis was the woman?
Yes, I did.
All right, Kristen Davis, I believe, was the prostitute who ran the house of, the bordello, the brothel. She's the woman who was the head of this call girl ring that was busted by the Federals in 2008, and she had some comments that she made to Radar Online. She said that Spitzer was boring. She said he looked like a gremlin. She said that the girls said to her that he was boring in bed, and so on and so forth. And you said that that is, you said that that was untenable.
It is immoral. Well, first of all, I think that for this whore, and let's talk about what it is that she does illegally for a living. Elliot Spitzer paid with his career because he stood on principle. Now, this is the part I think is so amazing, Phil, that Elliot Spitzer, people are criticizing him because he's gotten a second chance at campaigning on these issues that he believes in, the legalization of prostitution, the liberalizing of social mores and social issues. I think it takes gall to be an individual engaged in an illegal act such as prostitution. You are a whore. And you're commenting on one of your former clients, a customer of yours, that paid you money. You're calling him boring, you're calling him a gremlin, and you're commenting publicly on his sexual prowess or performance as if prostitutes care about whether or not a man performs with them in bed. We all know the prostitute has one thing and one thing only in her mind, and that is to be paid and get that man out of her bed as fast as she decently can. And for this whore to make the comments that she did, I think it's immoral. It's hypocrisy of a record-breaking nature. And, I sent an email off to Elliot Spitzer today, Phil. I said, hang in there. There are people who believe in you, and there are people who thank you for the efforts that you have made on behalf of this whore, so that she's no longer a whore, so that she's a legitimate businesswoman.
I was going to say, you call her a whore, even though you're claiming that Elliot Spitzer was trying to get prostitution legalized when he was arrested for prostitution.
Well, I'm not making the claim that, and here is the interesting part. He's trying to legitimize this business that she's in, and she is calling him names, calling him a gremlin, and talking about what a bad lover he is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. Tonight we have Margaret Gray on the line from the Dicklin Syndicate and her nationally syndicated column, A Little Bird Told Me, as we talk about Elliot Spitzer, not just the TV show, but where Margaret's on to talk about what she sees as Elliot Spitzer being a martyr, a sacrificial lamb to the cause of legalizing prostitution in America, that he gave up his career, gave up his future, really, in politics, so that we could move a step closer to legalized prostitution. And what he gets in return is this kind of criticism, especially coming from Kristen Davis. I want to explore, Margaret, with you, the notion that Elliot Spitzer is a martyr to the legalization of prostitution. If my memory serves me, the man was arrested.
Of course he was arrested. Let me explain, if I could, Phil, because I know you're confused, and some people may be. Yes, he was arrested. And when he was arrested because he was frequenting this whore, and I'm sorry, that's exactly what I'm going to call her, this Davis, her call girl ring. The reason why he was doing that is because he believes that prostitution should be legal. He was out there engaged in an act of civil disobedience that is not, and I know a lot of people are going to laugh, but it really isn't unlike what Martin Luther King did. It's not unlike what people who block abortion clinics are engaged in. It's not unlike what many people who were opposed to the Iraq War did. It's civil disobedience.
Well, you're putting Elliot Spitzer in the same bag as Martin Luther King and people who block abortion clinics for...
Of course I am. Of course I am. The reason why you may find fault with that bill...
Well, I just... It's difficult for me to fathom that.
The reason why you find fault with that is because the law that he is looking to legalize is a law that is controversial. He is looking to overturn... the restrictions and the prohibition of prostitution, that's not something that's going to get you talked about in a sixth grade class. That's not something that is going to get you invited on a television program, the kind of TV programs that Dr. King or some of the pro-life people have been invited on. That is a lonely, lonely road. And you know, Phil, that it is a lonely road that the martyr walks. Elliot Spitzer has walked on that road, a lonely, cold road. He is walking on that road even as he has this CNN job. And not one day after he does his television show, the whore whose business he was trying to legalize calls him lousy in bed and says he looks like a gremlin. That tells you something about people.
Maybe it tells you something about the business. You know?
No. I refuse to believe that. Elliot Spitzer believed, I believe, many of us believe, that prostitution, when legalized, will attract decent women, decent human beings, who aren't lying whores, but are decent women trying to feed their families. And when that day happens, Phil, I think a lot of what Elliot Spitzer's been through will finally be worth it.
877-876-PHIL, Margaret. I'm going to take a break here. Margaret Gray with us. Elliot Spitzer, a martyr to the cause of legalizing prostitution.
And not just him, but a great many other men that were arrested in that sting as well.
All right. Well, I don't know how many of those guys were actually involved in wanting to legalize prostitution, but the point that you're making here is he has been kicked, and he has been beaten, and he has been mistrusted, and he has been talked about, and he has been vilified by the very industry that he's been attempting to help, the industry of the sex trade. And including this Kristen Davis, who called him a gremlin. 877-876-PHIL is the real hypocrisy here, the prostitution industry, which is mocking Elliot Spitzer on his new TV show, even as he took the hit for them in trying to legalize prostitution. That's Margaret Gray's point. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
I think I rolled that out really good.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Margaret Gray back on the line with us from Santa Monica. We're talking about Elliot Spitzer, not just his TV show, Margaret. You're talking about his entire political career that has been basically washed down the drain because of these arrests. And yet you say his martyrship, his martyrdom at the hands of law enforcement to legalize prostitution will serve him in good stead. Now, he's got some competition. He has Glenn Beck. He's got Bill O'Reilly. He has Lou Dobbs. He's got, a lot of people to deal with.
Well, let me tell you what I wrote about that, Phil, because I can tell you this. When we get the story of Elliot Spitzer out there in front of the American people, what this man stands for, that this man's willing to go to jail, he's willing to go to jail for the things he believes in, the legalization of prostitution, even as, and again, I will say it, even as the whore that he kept in business criticizes him. Now, you talk about Glenn Beck. All right, let's talk about Glenn Beck. I said it in my column. You know what I said. He is a degenerate alcoholic.
Which I didn't think was fair.
Well, Phil, what about it is untrue?
I think you put the words degenerate alcoholic. I'm just making that comment.
All right, fair enough. You're entitled to your opinion, but I stand by that. Glenn Beck, a degenerate alcoholic. Bill O'Reilly, a sexual predator and deviant. and that is on the record. We have that, the, you know, facts on our side. Lou Dobbs, who is a Mexican-hating, anti-immigration psycho, is the only word that I can use. These are the people that an Elliot Spitzer, a man who very calmly and with dignity accepted the scorn of the elected peoples of New York, of the peoples of New York, and resigned on principle. He didn't have to resign, but on principle he did. If they would not support him in his fight, he would walk away, and he did. And you saw the guts that it took.
All right, and you're saying that Elliot Spitzer is far more preferable to watch than a so-called degenerate alcoholic, and yet Glenn Beck's story is one of recovery and one of redemption.
Well, that's what he wants us to believe. That's what he's selling. That's what he's selling this week. Let's see what the what he has in supply next week. What other supply of you know what he's got in next week?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I have lost my engineers, I have lost my connections. We have to go remote to Albert. We're going to go remote to Albert on the Phil Hendry Show. Open up the line to the caller, Albert, please. Albert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a problem believing that morality has degraded this far in this country. Somebody could disguise disgrace for benevolent or morality. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry?
I beg your pardon? What do you mean?
I can't believe that you could mistake him resigning in disgrace for taking a moral stand.
He was standing up for the rights of the sex trade worker.
Yeah,
and in so doing, lost his job, spending his money.
But the man is saying, Margaret, that...
No, I know what the man is saying. He doesn't agree with Spitzer's stand on prostitution. That's fine. But I don't think you have to paint the man...
No, I think what he's saying is Spitzer didn't take a moral stand on prostitution. He just got caught patronizing...
No.
He got caught patronizing...
No. Elliot Spitzer was out front on legalizing prostitution and was willing to be arrested for it so that we, you and I, and this gentleman could be better educated. He dragged us into the future, kicking and screaming. And for that, I'm
Why do we need to be further educated on the oldest profession? Come on. That's ridiculous.
On the legalization,
the legalization
of prostitution. Well, you call him a sexual degenerate. Why? Because he likes women? I don't understand.
No, because he likes women, because he's engaging in illegal activities, you know, for his sexual gratification.
At the same time,
a public servant.
He's engaged in civil disobedience, and I can understand the gentleman not wanting an elected public official engaging in that. I think it's a judgment call. He did it on principle. Martin Luther King did it.
Martin Luther King, let's not bring up Martin Luther King, okay? Martin Luther King was, that was civil rights. You talk about anti-abortion people, and Elliot Spitzer, you say, was engaged in an act of civil disobedience by getting arrested, frequenting a prostitute.
Well, absolutely, Phil. What am I not saying that isn't clear to you, gentlemen? He was making a statement. He was taking a stand. If you want to put it this way, he took his clothes off, yes. He took his pants off, whatever, yes. And in taking his pants off, he was telling everyone, take a look at what I'm about to do, because this can be legal.
Now, did he call the press before he went to the whorehouse? Come on. Did he have a camera crew waiting for him? Civil disobedience, he would have had a camera crew waiting for him before the cops got there.
He's not going to get arrested then. What's going to happen then is a carnival, a freak show. He wanted maximum impact, and that's
I'm quite sure that you're an expert on freak shows.
Well, whatever you want to say, sir, I haven't seen you, but I can bet it's not too pleasant. Thank you, and have a pleasant, very pleasant. I can't even spit it out.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What was wrong?
I can't. That redneck.
All right, we'll be back with more Margaret Gray, Elliot Spitzer, a martyr to the legalization of prostitution, and the whore that is still ripping into him on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Have a very pet. Poodle, poodle, poodle.
Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL with Margaret Gray, and the story of Elliot Spitzer, who was the governor of the state of New York, who was arrested frequenting prostitutes and lost his job. Essentially, didn't lose his job, but he did resign, probably a couple of steps ahead of being impeached and thrown out of office. Margaret, you are saying that all of this was intentional on his part, and it was to legalize prostitution, and now he's being bashed by the very prostitute that he was trying to help, this Kristen Davis, and his moral stand is one of one that we should admire, not be repulsed by. You even went so far as to say that Glenn Beck is a degenerate alcoholic and Lou Dobbs an immigrant basher.
I don't mean anything. I can recap what I said. I know what I wrote in my column, and I stand by every word of it. I don't know why it is we... You know, it really sometimes causes me such distraction that I consider resigning and leaving the business of journalism to people who are less intelligent, because that's really what's happening. I wrote a very, very reasoned... And I have to tell you, what I wrote this morning in my column was a reasoned and explosive defense of Elliot Spitzer's civil disobedience. That's right.
So you're claiming he didn't get arrested. He purposely walked in there and got busted for the...
He didn't purposely walk in there and get busted. He did get busted, but he got busted doing something that he believes should be legal. All right. I wrote a very good defense of that. And yes, I did say that Glenn Beck was a degenerate drunk. I did say that Lou Dobbs was an immigrant basher. I did say that Bill O'Reilly was a sex deviant. I did say that all of these people that presume to educate us on the issues of the day are, in comparison to an Elliot Spitzer, morally degenerated. That would mean morally degraded. They're not bad people. But in comparison to Elliot Spitzer, you're looking at a Dorian Gray situation. If a Lou Dobbs were to look at an Elliot Spitzer, Lou Dobbs looks like Dorian Gray. He is decayed. He is, the flesh is falling off his bones. So let's talk about what happened. All right.
Elliot Spitzer is morally superior to...
Let me, first of all, can I tell you something? Because Frank said, you sound a lot like Anderson Cooper when you go, let. You're stuttering a little bit like it. Hold on a minute.
Well, I didn't want to want to stutter.
Frank, come here.
Yeah.
What did I tell you?
Young man, how are you doing?
Frank, how are you?
Margaret told me this morning, he was writing a column. And he told me that...
Can you hold on, Frank, for a minute?
What?
Yeah.
This gender confusion, he's referring to you as he and...
Yes. Will you just get past it, for God's sake? For God's sake! Every time...
I have an audience that needs to be brought up to speed.
Well, tell your audience.
Okay.
Thank you. Now,
hold on for a minute. Frank Gray, Margaret's husband, gets gender confusion because the man has a biochemical imbalance.
You can tell people he has a raging infection. It is a lifelong infection brought on by a sexually transmitted disease. I think people need to know that.
All right, fine.
Anyway, Phil, you there?
I'm here, Frank.
So he's writing the column last night, and he says, Elliot Spitzer, like that. And I said, what about Glenn Beck and Bob Dobbs? And he said that they're all especially Glenn Beck. She's an alcoholic. Bill O'Reilly, she's a whatever. She is a thing.
Glenn Beck. No, even Frank, and you know Frank agrees with you on a lot of things, Phil. Even Frank agrees with me.
Even Frank, a guy who calls her him. Okay.
But why do you attempt to paint him as a gibbering lunatic? Yes, he has the gender confusion. He's a man of 70. How many people at the age of 70, when they're looking at a man, will say him instead of her? I think most people will probably say her because they are...
Oh, come on. What do you think, people at 70 years of age, and they've lost their ability to comprehend who and what they're looking at?
No, but they confuse the word. Let's go there, Phil. The second thing I want to say is I was looking... Frank, what was I doing this morning?
Well, I was going to say, Phil, he was looking through the RSS feeds. He was looking in the news, and he wanted to find his column, but instead they didn't have his column. They had comments from the whore, and he was making comments. So the whore in the race.
Give me the phone.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's fine, Frank. Go lie down. Or whatever you were doing.
I've got some Hennessy out here at the pool.
So you can see that this morning the RSS feeds... Every single individual RSS feed featured the comments of this whore, the whore, instead of me. That is the moral tear, Phil. That is the moral chasm. That is, well, in point of fact, Phil, that is the moral dilemma of our country. And
all right, so in other words, your comments about Elliot Spitzer needed to be, printed instead of this Kirsten Davis, because this woman is whatever the hell she is. She's a whore. And instead, they printed her comments. Now, if you want prostitution legalized, as you claim Elliot Spitzer wants prostitution legalized, and he's willing to get arrested for it, then what, why not comment, have the hooker's comments in there?
Well, she's a prostitute, but she doesn't really know. I don't understand your comment.
Well, Phil, you're not going to have the whore because all he wants to do is take his dress off. He's not going to,
Hold on, Frank. I'm talking to Margaret, if you don't mind.
Mike, I've got a dog in this fight.
You understand Frank got the gonorrhea.
I've got a dog in this fight, okay? Because I was with the hooker, and he was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen, and I asked him to marry me. And
I said, yes, I'm kidding.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, that's real funny.
Oh, lighten up, will you?
What got up your rear end?
Anyway, so I had a prostitute, and he was a wonderful girl, and he treated me. But I look what happened to me. So I think when you talk about prostitutes, while it is a noble business and one that is, I think, full of some of the finest human beings I've ever met in my life. And
prostitutes?
Yes, prostitutes. Prostitution.
The prostitution, the finest human beings you've ever met?
Some of the finest women I've ever met in my life that I would compare only to my mother I met were prostitutes. Those women work very, very hard. And I said to one of them, he had just gotten done putting his garter belt back on. And I said to him, I can't thank you enough for the quality of the woman that you are. And he said to me, well, you're one hell of a man. And I said, thank you. And he walked out. And I said, oh, you forgot your underwear. And he grabbed it. And
you're talking about a woman?
Of course I'm talking.
The gender confusion?
Okay, fine. I can't. What am I supposed to do? Sit here talking to this guy? He can't talk right?
He can't. Did he talk right?
Phil, talk much?
No, Phil.
You know, if we're going to turn this into a big fat joke, all right.
Phil, the whore is going to wind up on that Degenerate O'Reilly show. She'll be a guest on Fox and Friends. She'll be giving that, what's her name, Frank?
Yeah, that Gretchen Carlson. Boy, he's a real. He's always got his legs open.
Yeah, she'll be giving her pointers. Why aren't I being booked on these shows? Why am I not being interviewed? Why am I not being asked my take? You know why? Because they can't stand the fact that a woman like me knows more than they do. They're miserable.
they're miserable because their mothers are sleeping with
them. The garbage man.
All right, well, Margaret, a little bird told me is available to people how many times a week?
Available to, what do you mean by that?
How many times a week is it?
It's three times a week on national syndication.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour we have nice going, okay? And
Frank, just want to remind you something.
Yeah, Frank.
Listen, I wanted to know if you could come over for a drink this weekend. He's having some girls over, and I thought you and me and the guys, we could have a poker game. You know Bill Carlson, right?
Yeah, I know Bill, yeah.
She's coming over, and she's bringing her son, Ted. And Ted's a great poker player. I think she's actually played in Vegas. So we'll have all the guys, and she'll bring the chips. And
Who?
Ted and his dad.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I think I can play.
Oh, good, okay. She says she can play.
All right, thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Parent Television Council's back in the news. They're mad at the TV show Glee. And Pastor William Renick, next hour, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get that thing.
Yeah, I know. Bud and Robert were giving me a hard time. Welcome back to our show, Phil Hendry Show here, and our website, philhendryshow.com. And I'll tell you, if you don't have a backstage pass to watch our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio, you miss exciting things like when the camera falls off of the stand and hits the floor. And in this most recent episode of the camera falling off the stand and almost hitting the floor, it didn't quite hit the floor. It was swinging by its cable back and forth. And when I looked at the viewer, when I looked at the monitor, I just saw like the wall, kind of like it was a drunk scene.
Yeah, just going all over the place.
Yeah, that's great. So,
man, why don't you get something like a stand for it?
I'll get a stand for it. I'll do something with it. We're getting the tri-camera, aren't we?
Yeah, but until we get the tri-camera, you got to find a stand for that thing.
I want to be able to move it around, okay? We're going to have a three-camera shot, so until we get that, I don't want to get anything fast and furious, and, you know, I don't want to nail anything to the floor as it is. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, we have Pastor William Renick of the Joyful Union Congregation. He's going to be talking about a really weird story, man, and very sad, and as jacked up as the Tiger Woods story. Brett Favre exposed Deadspin.com, some sports website that specializes in athletes who, you know, are scumbags. They say they've got the videotape showing still photographs of Brett Favre exposing himself in emails to a reporter, a woman by the name of Jen Sturger, who is actually a TV personality with gangrene. Gangrene is a nickname for the New York Jets because of their green uniform. What gangrene is, I don't know if it's a booster club or if it's just an adjunct or a sort of a media sidebar to the team's activities. I don't know. But Renick is going to be up talking about that in a few minutes. Here's a story that is, anyway, here it is. And I showed this video, like, during the pre-show. Did you guys see this thing?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I think it's right.
Well, now hold on. This is a cartoon. It's a satire, you know?
Yeah, you say it's a satire of the people with a hood.
Yes, that's the clan, that's the Coon Clan.
What do you mean, the Coon Clan?
Well, it's called the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Yeah, you're black, you don't know the Ku Klux Klan.
Just because I'm black, I don't have to know all about it. How come you don't know about it?
I do know about it. This jackball called it the Coon Clan.
Well, I you know,
that's what I thought it was.
Well, it ain't. It's the Ku Klux Klan. Now, in this cartoon, which I showed to my video viewers, and I'm doing it again, if you go to our website, I feel like Art Bell now. Go to our website, and you can see right there. But anyway, go to our website, and you can see in the video cast, it's two Klans peoples And they have their hoods, and they're standing in front of a tree, and the tree has a noose hanging from it. And the caption reads, "Honey, this is the tree where we met." Now, it is a perfectly acceptable piece of satire. In point of fact, the newspaper, which is a on-campus newspaper for Eastern Michigan University, the Eastern Echo, said, and I quote, "The cartoon points out the hypocrisy of hate-filled people. Its intent was to ask, how can someone show affection for one person while at the same time hating someone else enough to commit such a heinous act as hanging?" You know what? It doesn't even take a third grader. I mean, a second grader would understand this. A first grader. It's a pretty straightforward and completely acceptable piece of social commentary that one would expect to see in a campus newspaper, especially young people who are developing their journalistic styles and their worldview, and they're developing their skills with regard to putting out a daily newspaper or however often they publish this. This is the stock in the trade of a campus newspaper. Campus newspapers are very lively. And we would expect to see something like this in any newspaper, in any national magazine. And yet, because the level of either education is sinking in this country or people, and there may be people listening to me right now that don't understand this. I don't know what to say. But if we can't publish cartoons like this, then we're in a world of trouble. A world of trouble. Some members of the student body were offended by the comic, calling it inappropriate. Why? Why?
Because it's got a picture of a Klansman.
So all pictures of Klansmen...
No, but I mean, they're making a cartoon out of a Klan man, you know.
Yeah. See, they're trying to make it funny.
The Klan is funny. Hitler was funny. They make jokes about Hitler. Evil is... You can geld evil more quickly with humor than with anything else. You can make pure evil look asinine if you use the tool of humor and satire deftly and wisely. You can completely disarm evil. So, but you guys are saying don't use that tool. You guys are saying what? Just deliver back to the evil itself.
Well, you're always saying nothing stops violence like violence.
Yeah, what about that?
Nothing does stop violence like violence, but this isn't violence. This is a cartoon.
Yeah, but I think it's emotionally violent.
Oh, will you stop already with that jazz? It's emotionally violent. It's a cartoon. It may be offensive when you don't understand it. Let me ask you something, Robert. Okay?
What?
You don't get that now.
About what?
When I explained it, when the newspaper explained it, two Klans people talking about a romantic moment when they met at the tree where they met, where there's a noose hanging. You don't understand that that's pretty... It's almost like saying nobody in the Klan can fall in love because look at what they do. They target innocent people, murder innocent people, and so therefore they have forfeited their ability as human beings to love.
I mean, I understand it now that you explained it.
But before, you would have just had it censored.
Yeah.
Well, why? I mean, what's the point, man, if people can't express themselves and because you don't understand it, you have that censored.
On account of it's defensive and everything. Everybody knows if it's offensive, you can't do it. Everybody know about it.
Everybody doesn't know that.
Yeah, they do. If you put some offensive like that, you gotta have it. You gotta take it out. Everybody know, like you said.
Everybody knows what, man? There ain't no law.
If you say like the N-word, you can't do it.
Who said the N-word, man? We're talking about a cartoon with two Klans people. And in the cartoon, the hanging tree is there, and they say, "Honey, this is where we met." You guys got to get hip to this, okay? Because what you're basically doing is you're taking out of the hands of people who are every bit as much opposed to this kind of hate as you are. You're taking away from them a very powerful weapon, the weapon of satire and humor.
I don't know, man. You can't have no... have you ever been lynched? Of course you ain't never been lynched.
Have you?
No, but I know people in my family have, going way back.
All right, so people in your family have, going way back. There's no, and it was a horrible thing, right?
Hell yeah, it was a horrible thing.
All right, so here we take a cartoon depicting people involved in that kind of activity as morally confused, morally bankrupt, simpletons. They're not politically motivated. They're not firebrands, believing fervently in some racial philosophy. These are a couple of idiots that stand there at a tree with a noose and say, oh, wow, this is where we met. How romantic. It shows them to be psychopaths. It shows them, in my opinion, to be worse than that. They're almost like psychotic in the way they view the world.
I don't know, man. Yeah, like he said, the Coon, or not the Coon Clan. What do you call it?
It's called the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, but it was the same thing.
How do you spell that?
KUKLUXKLAN. Anyway, as a result of the cartoon, they're holding a panel for students to discuss topics such as the role of imagery and its use in the media. They have to educate these dim bulbs at Eastern Michigan University on what imagery is, on what historical perspective is, on what satire is. Wow, that's something you got to have figured out when you're in high school. All right, we'll be back. Pastor William Rennick here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see that cartoon one more time. That looks like you.
No, man, it looks like you. It looks just like you.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You and the Dobbs Group have relied on the labor of...
You want me to... No, I'm not getting into that.
No, I don't think she's a very good role model.
But, Mr. Shue, we kind of grew up with her.
I invited him on the show tonight so that I could apologize to him directly.
Are you gay?
Call me naive.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places no other talk show can go. They'd like to, but they can't. Maybe it's because they're healthier than we are. 877-876-PHIL, Pastor William Rennick joins us this hour. Our affiliate spotlight falls on the city of Orlando, WEUS, 810 AM in Orlando, in Central Florida. Great to be back on the air in Orlando. And in Little Rock, Arkansas, KDXE, 1380 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Oh, man, that's great. I just, in emphasizing that point and saying radio network, I just spilled a can of 7-Up all over my... All right. We're going to get Pastor William Rennick on the line here in a moment, but this story was a shocker. Am I surprised? I suppose I shouldn't be. I don't think anybody, if I was an intelligent human being, which at times I certainly am not, I should have been prepared. You know, anybody at any time is capable of anything. Why would I think that one person or another is not? You know, I don't know Brett Favre. I don't know who. I know he's a damn good football player. That's all I know about it. I know that he puts on a face publicly that shows a man of concern for the community, loves his kids, loves his wife. But that's the face he puts on. I don't know the man. So when I read the headline, Brett Favre exposed as a Deadspin post reveals voicemails, lewd photos allegedly sent to Jen Sturger or Sturger. We're supposed to know who she is. If you're in New York, you do. She's a reporter for the New York Jets. She's a sideline reporter. She's a beautiful young, quote, sexy, end quote, TV personality. And X-rated photos included in a video posted on Deadspin.com Thursday afternoon claim to show legendary quarterback and devoted family man Brett Favre, like you've never seen him before, naked from the waist down. The sports website posted three penis pictures. It says the Minnesota Viking quarterback sent to Jen Sturger, or Sturger, in 2008, when Favre was with the Jets and the sexy TV personality was a gangrene sideline reporter. Gangrene being the nickname, an affectionate one that the fans have for the Jets. It's a good story for us. Deadspin editor-in-chief AJ Scumbag. I can't pronounce your name, sir. I apologize. During the pre-show, I just pronounced it as diarrhea because, seriously, we cover the dark side of sports. I don't know why they're interviewing him. Nonetheless, he got a hold of this. He did, Mr. Diarrhea and the Deadspin people, and have posted it. They did not get it. My understanding is they did not get it from the reporter in question, this Lady Sturger. So here is Brett Favre allegedly leaving this voicemail message to sideline reporter Jen Sturger.
Jen, it's not a setup. Just got done with practice. Got meetings here, and I went for about a couple more hours. I'm going back to the hotel and just chill. So, the mid deck, because I'll be in the building for a couple hours. Love to have you come over tonight. I know, I think Aaron came up and asked you if you would give him your number, or he was going to give you my number, but I understand. But the mid text, love to see you tonight. All right, talk to you later.
So that's Favre leaving this message. The guy he references, I think, is a New York Jet. The article indicates that it is a New York Jet public media relations member of that department. And in any event, that guy was going to give her his number, and Favre was going to get her number, some jazz like that. At a press conference today, Brett Favre didn't respond when asked to comment on the Deadspin.com story, posting his voicemail and nude pictures.
You know, I mean, no. I mean, I'm not getting into that. I got my hands full with the Jets and trying to get some timing down with our guys. That's all I'm going to discuss.
On the line is Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation. By the way, I got to tell you that Favre no longer plays for the Jets. He plays for the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are playing the Jets this weekend. Pastor Rennick, thank you for joining us. I know that you're having an event at the church this evening.
Well, we had a christening of, there were three families involved. We had three christenings this evening. It was a beautiful event. And certainly everyone has enjoyed themselves this evening. I'm very sad to be on your program to comment on something that of this nature, you know.
What, when you heard this story, was the first thing that came into your mind?
Well, the first thing that came into my mind was Tiger Woods.
Right.
I thought of Tiger Woods, and I thought of all of the disappointment that so many of us felt about Tiger, but I also remember feeling hurt on his behalf, because much of what was being said about Tiger Woods was very unfair. I thought that it was a little, you use a word, a term, Phil, sometimes, you call it over the top.
Right, when it's a little like they're piling on.
Right, I thought they were piling on with Tiger Woods and calling him every name in the book and forcing him out of his profession. You understand that Tiger Woods could not be in his profession. You're not allowed to play golf.
Well, he voluntarily left.
Yeah, but the PGA... You know as well as I do, the PGA said to him, you know, we can't have that. We can't have you right now on the tour because you would be a distraction. You would be a target for a sponsor boycott. You'd be a target for a consumer-led boycott of the sponsors of our product. And so Tiger Woods stepped away from a game that he loved and that he played better than anybody ever had played, or at least better than anyone played it in many, many years.
Exactly.
Now we've got this man, Brett Favre. I have what Brett Favre. I'm like anybody else. I love to watch a football game. I love watching Brett Favre. I saw Brett Favre when he was the Green Bay Packers. The great football player. And a great quarterback. We love to watch a good quarterback. But now this man, Favre, who I think, Phil, I'm going to say it, I think he is guilty of far worse.
Well, what is he, you know, what is he guilty?
Far worse than what Tiger Woods.
No, but what is he guilty of exactly here?
Well, the story, you asked what he's guilty of. The story that I heard was that he is sending filthy pictures to the mail, using the United States mail to send this filth. And I don't know whether he is cutting out letters and pasting, you know, how they cut out letters.
No, I don't think he's doing that. I think these were, I don't know how they were sent.
Well, my understanding is he is sending this girl pictures of his lower extremity. Is that correct?
That is the allegation, yeah.
All right, well, if he's using the U.S. mail to send a woman a photograph of his
of himself naked from the waist down. This is an abomination. Using the United States mail with these cutout letters, you know. And
yeah, I don't think he cut out letters or anything like that.
What did he do?
These are now, I find out, thank you very much, Jace. He text messaged these, and the text messages had the pictures.
All right, well, he is still using, and let me tell you something, I know a little bit about the law. If you are using the internet across state line to transport pornography and a picture of your, you know, your self naked, that's what I understand you got. Well, now what you've got is you have got a problem, because that's a violation of the law. Now, Tiger Woods, he didn't violate any law. The fact that all he did was go out and had girlfriends. I'm not trying to tell a man his life or what he should do. If I were this man, Brett Favre, and you've heard of the Desert Gold Exchange?
The Desert Gold Exchange, right. They're a sponsor of ours.
All right, they're sponsor. They've got a number, 888-852-4343, the Desert Gold Exchange, or DGEgold.com. Now, you've heard about that?
Yeah, I have.
All right. They're a precious metal dealer. And, you know, there's all kind of uncertainty and change going on in the economy. If I was Brett Favre, I would call these people, the Desert Gold Exchange, because this man's going to need something to do for a living. He's going to need to make an investment, because he has been caught doing something far worse than that young man, Tiger Woods.
Well, are you not, Pastor Renick, are you not exploiting this and turning this into a...
I'm not exploiting anything, Phil. You brought the story up to me.
All right, but are you not taking this and sort of exploiting it along the lines of a cult of personality? You know, who's better, Tiger Woods or Brett Favre?
No, I'm not exploiting anything. The story is screaming out at me. The story is telling me this. Tiger Woods got kicked out of golf, and you say he quit, all right, but he could not go play golf because he had a few girlfriends. Brett Favre is sending pictures of his penis on a text message. I never heard anybody tell him he got to stop playing football. It's much worse than what Tiger Woods did.
All right, much worse. We're going to take a break. You call it much worse. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Pastor William Renick. What's much worse about it?
What's much worse about it? Tiger Woods, what's much worse about it? We've got a man sending dirty pictures through the U.S. Postal Service. And
no, he text messaged it.
Well, if he's text messaging, whatever he's doing, it's the same thing. Here's a man, one of the most admired and respected football players in history. And this man is sending dirty pictures. He sent a dirty picture, and he leaving dirty, like a dirty mess. You know, why don't you come over my hotel? All the dirt. It's a dirty message. And
I didn't hear it. You heard the recording, Pastor. I didn't hear anything dirty in there. I heard a man saying, I'd like to see you, basically, hemming and hawing, and he almost sounded like a schoolboy. Well, I thought I'd get my picture and or, I mean, get your phone number. And
like a schoolboy. You know, Phil, I love you. You have a way of rendering something that is so hideous and so ugly. You have a way of rendering it into something that's almost like we're looking at a little kid playing with a sailboat or something. Now, this man's on the phone talking dirty, and then he's sending a dirty picture of himself. To me, Tiger Woods, you know, I think Tiger Woods got raped by the media. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, Brett Favre, we don't know what's going to happen to him.
We know what's going to happen to Brett Favre. He's not going to lose one football game will this man miss. Not one. Not a one.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Pastor William Renick. We're talking about the news that broke today about Brett Favre and alleged lewd photos that he sent through the mails. Or not the mail, text messaged these lewd photos. And Pastor Renick is on with us saying basically what Brett Favre did is much worse than what Tiger Woods did. Will Brett Favre lose playing time? Will Brett Favre be pushed out of football or be asked to take a, you know, leave of absence in much the same manner that Tiger Woods did? And why not? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with our guest, Pastor William Renick. coming up.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What was that?
Just our announcer.
I need a drink of water.
Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with Pastor William Renick of Joyful Union Congregation here on the Phil Hendry Show. Pastor Renick is the spiritual leader of Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, some 2,500 congregants. And we thank you for being with us, Pastor Renick. You're a sports fan, and you are also a man of the cloth, a spiritual leader. We have here Brett Favre, who is the athletic or the sports hero of a great many people. I don't want to speak for anyone, but a lot of people like him.
Right. I thought Brett Favre, I admire Brett Favre very much. I'm not going to say he's a hero of mine, because I like, there's all kinds of football players I like, but I like Brett Favre very much. I think he's as a football player, very tough kind of quarterback that I remember when I was a young man. You have these very tough quarterbacks, that Y.A. Tittle and men like that, and Brett Favre is like that,
All right, but here we have off the field the allegation, and I guess there is evidence of some kind that he sent pictures of his penis, pictures of himself naked from the waist down, to this reporter, Jen Sturger, as well as voicemails asking the girl out, and we were able to, we were able to listen to one of those.
I want to ask you a question, Phil. Okay.
But and our number is 877-876-PHIL, by the way, folks. We'll take your calls here on this. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to ask you a very honest question, because I told you about Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods, after going out on these dates and all of this mess that he did, Tiger Woods had to publicly apologize. This man, they made commercials of his mother talking to him. It was this long, drawn-out, unbelievable public apology of Tiger Woods. Now, I want to ask you a question about this man, Brett Favre. Hold on.
Is that Clara?
Yeah, hold on, Clara. Yeah, I told him I would rather he not bring it. I'm going to bring it up. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the reaction of people would be if that was a big black penis in that picture?
Oh, God.
That's a very good question. What do you think the reaction of people would be if that's a big black penis? What, it's a white man, all bets are off, Let him go play against the New York Jets. It's Brett Favre. He's got things to do. He sent a dirty picture to a woman, but it ain't a black penis, it's a white one.
Okay, I would rather we clean up our language.
I told you. You told me, but I'm telling you, that is the crux. That is the crux of the issue here.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Art in Newark, listening to us on WWRL. Art, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, well, I'm a black man. I'm 60 years old. I marched on Washington. I understand the civil rights very well. But as a man of the cloth, number one, you understand that a sin is a sin. One sin is not greater than another, except those that are called an abomination, but one sin is not greater than another. If you want to add up sins, Tiger had more than Brett. I'm not a Brett Favre fan, but I like, he's a football player. I'm certainly not a Tiger fan as a black man, and if you're going to stand on this radio station and try to defend Tiger as a black man,
you're gonna
sound like an idiot.
I'll tell you, I'm not trying to defend the man.
Tiger has never represented our community. He is a disgrace to us, as are many of our black athletes who have really made it. You have people like Jordan and Tiger. Who cares about them? You're down here bringing yourself down to the lowest level you possibly can to discuss race. We don't do
that. Wait a second. Every day you see this. Now listen, the media said a white man's sin isn't as bad as a black man's sin. You know that.
Yes, but, tell you, but there's no white and black here. Tiger's not a black man.
They ain't no white and black. Come on.
Tiger, I'm not talking about them. I'm not. You got to stop worrying about them. We pick our people, and our people pick us. Tiger does not want to be us. I don't want Tiger. Let them have Tiger. This is just
But the white people. It doesn't make any difference. You don't get to pick.
You don't hear you don't get to about pick. Eddie Long.
I'm listening to you.
About Eddie Long.
Is that the guy to Leave It to Beaver?
No,
Eddie Long. Leave It to Beaver?
Leave It to Beaver? Eddie Long is a man of the cloth down in Atlanta. God forbid you don't know about this. Who was staunchly against homosexual activity and involved himself in it. He's got one of the mega churches. There is so much going on in the world, and there's so much going on with black people, and you're going to get down into the gutter with this junk.
I'm trying to tell you, young man, I'm trying to tell you this, that I'm not taking it down there. We don't get to pick our people. They pick them for us.
You may not want Tiger.
Tiger Wood to be black, but I'll tell you, the white people make him black, and they say
Tiger,
that he's a black man.
Some people like Tiger and Oprah are in a rarefied area where they can choose their race. And they have done it. They will tell you in a moment's notice that I don't identify with those things that are black. In a moment's notice, and here you are, wasting your time and God's time.
God got plenty of time for me.
All right. Thank you. Art, very good call. 877-876. Phil back with Pastor William Renick and Brett Favre and Tiger Woods, you know.
Phil Hendry.
Where'd that man go? Let me hear that again.
Hold on.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Pastor William Renick joins us as we discuss what was made public today. Brett Favre exposing himself in photographs sent to a reporter for the New York Jets. You wanted to hear the voicemail that he left for her, and we can play that. This is Brett Favre and his voicemail left for New York Jets reporter Jen Sturger.
Jen, it's not a setup. Just got done with practice. Got meetings here, and well, for about a couple more hours, I'm going back to the hotel and just chill. So, submit deck, because I'll be in the building for a couple hours. Love to have you come over tonight. I know, I think Aaron came up and asked you if you,
you heard essentially what he was saying there.
Yeah, essentially, I'm listening to a man who is a married man, and he's saying, you know, he's a married man. He's saying, hey, why don't you come on my hotel room?
All right, he's a married man, but I'm not hearing anything dirty there. He's saying, hey, you know,
you're not hearing anything dirty. In the text message, a man sent a photograph of him with no pants on. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I'm the guy that's reporting the story, yes. Okay.
Well, that's dirty.
But what I'm saying is, in the context of this relationship, such as it is, a man's going to send a woman a photograph of himself. A woman is going to send a man a photograph of herself if these are willing participants, okay?
Willing participants of what, Phil? Well, Tiger Woods was a willing participant. And they wanted to run him out of town on a rail. They had to run him off and burn him out. But I don't hear none of that happening here.
You're anxious to have Brett Favre crucified just like Tiger Woods, huh?
I'm anxious to see that people are not hypocrites about this. You know that there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But there's justice in this world. Justice for the black man.
Oh, come on, but the 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Renick. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, Tiger Woods actually committed an act of infidelity. He lied about it. It was involved in a violent offense between him and his wife, a car accident.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, well, let's forget about that. Okay, he was involved in infidelity. Tiger Woods is, Brett Favre is talking to a woman, okay? Nothing has happened or been proven. It
hey, Kevin, you cut out. You cut out, man. Just say that again, brother. You cut out a little bit.
There is no actual action between Brett Favre and this supposed lady. A reporter, by the way, who her job is to get a story, a scoop. It seems to me that the Reverend is more racist than the media that he's portraying. He is more concerned about being a white man.
How are you saying I'm racist? How are you saying I'm racist when Brett Favre sent a picture of his penis? He sent a picture of his penis.
Are you going to let me
talk? Is this man a married man? Is he a married man? Is he a married man?
Did you ask me a question?
Yeah, I'm asking now. Is he a married man?
Then will you let me answer that question, or are you just going to talk over me?
I'm asking right now. Is he a married man?
All right. That's not the question you asked me first. I'm going to answer the question you asked me first. The first question...
Yeah, I asked you, is he a married man?
No, you didn't. You asked him something else.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I said, is he a married man? What I asked?
He is a married man. But has he been proven guilty? No.
He's a married man.
Hold on. Yeah, let him answer.
Has he been proven guilty of committing infidelity? No, he hasn't. You're more concerned about seeing the white man.
Are you kidding me?
You're more concerned about seeing the white man.
You don't send a picture of your penis.
You are about the truth.
No, I'm not. Now, that's terrible for you to say that. That's got nothing to do with it.
You said it yourself.
No, I did not. I'm just looking for... I ain't trying to indict a white man. No. I said I just want to see justice. Yeah. That's got nothing to do. That ain't got nothing to do with trying to hang a white man.
You said justice.
Yeah, but that got nothing to do with trying to hang a white man. I'm just saying. Hey, listen.
You said it. It was your word.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess you can't get past that, can you? You're just going to keep that rolling around in your little head,
you
right?
Said it on
I'm
the
telling you. I know I said it. How many times are you going to say I said it? I know I said it. Now, listen to me, white man.
You said it.
Oh, come on. All right. All right. Hold on. Let somebody listen to somebody.
This guy won't listen to me. I'm saying that this ain't about race. It's about justice. And the fact is,
yeah, but he's saying, and he's right, that you said justice for the black man. What about justice for the white man?
Justice for the white? Are you kidding me or something?
My point
if he
is
sent a picture, he sent a picture of his penis, and it's a white penis, everything's good. But it's a black penis, Katie bar the door.
You can't even say penis, black penis. You got to say big black penis. My point
exactly.
is, your view of justice is color-coded. If we want to have justice for everyone,
candy coded.
Justice for everyone. Let's make it equal candy across
coated.
The board.
What do you,
across the board.
What do you mean
without color?
What do you mean candy coat?
You
didn't
want
candy
color in.
No, I didn't. I didn't bring no color in.
Yes, you did.
No, he didn't. You did.
No, I didn't.
Black man.
You started, when you said, Phil, that Tiger Woods is colored, I said, no, he ain't. He's a white man. And you said, no, he's black.
Phil.
I said, all
this
right.
This is Kevin.
No, I didn't say anything out of this. You said that it was Brett Favre. I tell you what, why don't we just take race out of it?
All right, let's do that. Now, if he had said a big black penis...
Okay, there you go, man. You want to take race out of it? Yes, sir?
Did he say black genitalia and justice for the black man? Or did I imagine that?
Oh, wait a second. You can ask me. You don't have to ask Phil.
No, I'm
not. I heard you say that.
No.
I can't seem to get a direct answer out of you.
Go ahead, ask me. Ask me anything you want. Anything.
Did you say black genitalia and justice for the black man?
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not. No, I did not. I never said black genitalia.
Can you play that back? Because I know he did.
Let me see. Go to the tape, bud.
Okay. And what you see is a big black penis. Okay.
That's the tape.
Yeah, see, I didn't say genitalia. I said penis.
So you did say it. And did he say just
no, I did not say it. I didn't say genitalia. I said penis. See? So you're wrong there.
Uh-oh.
Whatever. You're wrong about
oh, come on, man. All right, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Pat in Smyrna, Tennessee. Pat, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to
yes, sir.
Speak some common sense here, if y'all don't mind. Even about his wife, Brett Favre's wife. What if she doesn't care? What if she doesn't care?
Doesn't matter.
Nobody thought about her.
Nothing to... She does. It doesn't matter what
she
cares
about. What do you have to say about that, Reverend?
Here's what I got to say about that. Brett Favre is a role model to all kinds of little kids. Doesn't make any difference.
This is about this man, and
he's whipping it out on sending a picture of his with his pants off. through the U.S. mail.
Still alleged. I believe this all is still alleged, right?
Well, you know and I know.
So, okay, we don't
want to. Come on.
But now,
let's not be children about this.
Yeah, right.
Well, what does that mean? We don't know if it's true or not.
You don't know if it's true or not.
We don't even know if the photographs are of Brett Favre.
Yeah, they're of Brett Favre. Give me a break.
I want to ask one question, and I'll hang up and listen. Would you hang up and turn your radio down? Woods so profusely if he was not half African American? I would like you to answer that question.
I didn't hear your question. What'd you say?
Would you defend Tiger Woods so profusely, so much, if he was not half African American?
Yes, I would.
What if it was me? What if it was me, a normal white guy in the middle of Tennessee?
Yeah, but I don't. Well, it's different because I don't like you.
Kind of
I don't like you. That's different.
What do you mean you don't like him?
It got nothing to do with his race. I just don't like him.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I just got done telling you.
So if you like Brett Favre...
I don't like Brett Favre.
I thought you liked him as a football player.
I do. I don't. You know, you want to know what I don't like about Brett Favre? Because I've been a... And Pat's going to laugh at this. This is true. I worked at Green Bay, Wisconsin in 2003. And I went into Brett Favre's restaurant. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, 2003. Are you there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
And I ordered a ribeye steak. And it had all this fat hanging off. I said to the waitress, I said, can you give me some meat on this steak? She said, what they do in Wisconsin. She goes, that's a ribeye, you know, like that. And I go, I know what a ribeye is. I said, is there any meat on this thing? And she looked me up and down, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. She looked me up and down, mostly down, and she said, is there any meat on this thing? Pointing to me. Winked and walked away.
So what? So some smart-ass
waitress! First of all, she's making a comment about me and my manhood, and then has the gall to feed me a ribeye steak with nothing but fat.
I've been in that restaurant.
What? The Brett Favre restaurant?
I've been in Brett Favre's restaurant. Yeah, and I've had steak, and it's a fantastic restaurant.
Oh. Boy, I tell you, there isn't a low, you know, I've seen a lot of low things in my life. There isn't a low you won't stoop to, is there?
What low? I'm just giving an opinion. Let me go to a phone call. John, hello, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. John calling in Boston.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yes,
I just wanted to quickly make a comment. I don't understand where the comparison really is with Brett Favre's situation and Tiger Woods' situation, whether he's black or whether he's white. There's really no comparison. The fact that Tiger Woods was crucified on national television is because he didn't just send pictures. He slept with hookers, porn stars, and multiple women, and that's why he got crucified on television. Didn't have anything to do with the fact he was black or white or Asian. The fact that he cheated on his wife with many, many women, and he's supposedly a sex addict. Now you guys want to make a comparison to Brett Favre. He sent a text message with a nude picture to probably a woman that wanted to talk to him because he didn't get the number out of anywhere. It didn't follow this guy. So I don't know why we're making this comparison to begin with.
So the woman wants to talk to him. Does that mean she wants to look at his thing?
She might want to.
Well, maybe. That's called sexual harassment. You see, Tiger Woods slept with women who want to be with him. We don't even know this woman want to be with Brett Favre. He's sending pictures of his penis over America. Through the U.S. mail, using a U.S. mail and AT&T, and sending a picture of his penis to some woman who might just want to have a conversation with him.
Well, we don't know the nature. We don't know the nature of their relationship.
What's that?
I said, when a woman wants to see your body, that's sexual harassment.
How do you know she wants to see it? All I heard him say is exchanging phone numbers.
That's a better question.
Because the evidence we have is of them exchanging phone numbers, not asking for pictures of the you-know-what.
But the better question is, how do you know that she didn't want to? You're making an assumption.
Because we don't have any evidence of that, my young man. Let me tell you, evidence. It's called evidence, and we have no evidence. Now, I want to talk to Brett Favre, too, but I don't want a picture of his penis coming to my phone, you know. I want to talk to Brett Favre, get his autograph. I don't want him sending me a picture of his thing hanging out of his underwear. I actually think maybe
you want to. You keep talking about it. So
Yeah, I am going to keep talking about it till I see this man be judged the same way they judge Tiger Woods and all the rest of them, and not give him a pass. Which
there's no comparison to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are making the point, Pastor, that Tiger Woods was actively unfaithful to his wife with multiple women, whereas Brett Favre...
He's using the U.S. mail to send smut. Pornography. Can you understand the pornography? And what if a child opened up that envelope and saw Brett Favre's thing hanging there? What if a child,
Let me ask you a question.
No. A little tiny baby... crawls to the mailbox. And
what do you mean crawls to the mailbox? Are you saying this? First of all, went to the lady's phone.
All right. So a little tiny baby opens up the phone, and there it is for God and man. That thing hanging there, and this kid
just
is all.
A question.
And
let
the kid doesn't start talking. The kid doesn't start talking till he's five.
All right, go ahead, sir. And then we got to take a break. Go ahead, sir. And then we have to take a break. Yeah.
Okay. Did Tiger Woods sleep with all those women, yes or no?
No.
He didn't? He didn't sleep with all those women, even though he came out and admitted that he slept with those women?
No, he did not.
He did. And you know he did it for a fact?
No, he didn't. Well, you asked me a question.
Do you know for a fact that Brett Favre sent that picture to the woman and it was unwanted? No, you don't. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, I do. Thank you and have a very pleasant good evening, Jack.
Well, now, you know what?
But no, that guy... See, that's unfair.
Well, you're just trying to provoke it by saying, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. You know.
I asked the question. I'll ask it again. A little tiny baby crawls to the
mailbox. 877-876-PHIL. You know, the folks that are calling tonight are making a very good point. When you turn this into some kind of a racially charged thing, what?
He wants to know how much longer.
How much? Pastor Rennick?
How much we got? The news is coming on. You know?
Another 10 minutes, if you don't mind.
All right, 10 minutes.
877-876-PHIL. More of your calls, plus still to come tonight. Which site do you think is worth more, the Drudge Report or the Huffington Post? We'll give you the value, the monetary value of different blogs on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
A little tiny baby crawls to a mailbox.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
They do.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line with us here is Pastor William Rennick as we talk about the very disturbing news about Brett Favre today, if it's true.
Why do you keep saying, if it's true, Phil? I find that to be... That's disturbing to me.
All right. I'm just saying it's alleged...
Did they say that? Let me tell you something right now.
Now, hold on. I got to finish my thought on opening the segment here. Essentially, what we have is it an accusation, a charge, and apparent proof that Brett Favre sent photographs of himself naked from the waist down to a reporter for the New York Jets, a Jen Sturger, and also asked her out on a date. And to the extent that it's a scandal having to do with the man being unfaithful to his wife.
Well, now, you know, isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, a man sending dirty pics. You know, there was a time, Phil, when I was a young man, and if somebody said, look at that man there, he sent dirty pictures, you know, over the mail and this. And people would say, well, that's somebody you got to stay away from. That's a sick pervert, you know. Now you tell me, what's the man's name? Brett Favre sent a dirty picture standing there. With no pants on, and all of a sudden, well, you know, it happens. I mean, that's like to set me free, man. I'd like to know, where do you get your morality? Where do you get your, how do you look at things, you know?
Because of what the people said. An active sexual relationship with a woman as opposed to sending, you know.
Well, Phil, in my line of work, the Lord said, if you lusteth after a woman in your heart,
Well, you have committed the sin of adultery.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Lane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Pastor William Renick.
Hey, good afternoon, or good evening, I should say.
Yes, good morning.
I've been listening to the program since it first came on, and the first thing that I think your question was the fact about Brett Favre, and this news broke today. And all of a sudden, it turned to Tiger Woods for a minute and a half. And it turned racist.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was not raised that way, but this is just
racial. How do you know?
Racial.
You said it's good afternoon. It's the early morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Is it not?
I'm sorry?
Ain't it early morning in Nashville, Tennessee?
Okay, the gentleman misspoke.
Well, yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah, you said good afternoon. Now, that makes me question whether you hearing things right or not.
Well, don't even go there. You
well,
know, I'm homeless living
valid?
On
don't
the street
valid?
Right now, but I'm listening
don't
to
you,
this program and going,
don't you think
know,
that's valid?
You
don't
just
you think
absolutely
that's valid?
Blow my mind about how racial you really are.
Wait a minute. Did you say you're sleeping on the street? What did the gentleman say?
Where are you now, Lane?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, sir. Very good.
Well, look, my point is not racial. My
you,
point is
honestly, you
if
have
Tiger
not
Wood,
given me any
if opinion. Tiger Wood, if Tiger Wood
why
is sleeping with a woman,
we're talking Brett Favre broke.
And then
why are you bringing up Tiger Woods, which happened months
Brett
ago?
Brett Favre did what? Because Tiger Wood got kicked out of golf. I want to sit, wait, and see the same
no,
thing happened
with Brett Favre. He went to rehab. He chose that himself. Which I think
man, you know as well as I do, man, that the white man came to him and said, look, we can't have
quit
it.
Going,
we can't have
quit
it.
Going with white man
you
and black
have
man.
Got to go. I have to do that because that's the world I live in. And that's the world you live in, too.
Well, that's exactly
yeah,
the world I live in, too.
That's exactly right. Now,
yeah,
look,
I'm 58 years old.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with you, Lane. I'll tell you what I'll do. When Bill O'Reilly and Wolf Blitzer put that big picture of Brett Favre's you-know-what up on their screen, and they start
I'm
talking about that
Wolf
and saying,
Blitzer,
this is, yeah, well, yeah, Wolf Blitzer, you bet, Wolf Blitzer, he loved to see that, because I think I've got questions about him, and Anderson Cooper, don't even worry about it.
No, you know? Keep comparing
we gotta go, man.
To everybody else.
Right, good night.
Phil Hendry.
Anderson Cooper.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just wanted to ask him a question. He proceeded to continue. And
did you check the status of the workers who were laboring on your
court? Of course, it's embarrassing, but more than that, I'm pretty angry about it.
Obama's messing things up.
Jews are good with money.
What's that?
Jews are good with money.
Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. Through the looking glass we go and beyond where truth is our bitch and where we go where no other talk show can go. They might decide they want to go to where we go. They can't go there. That's the beautiful thing about this radio show, and as I told a reporter for the Hollywood Reporter today, I was interviewed by a cat who was writing an article about talk radio, and he actually didn't even want to talk to me. I called him and I said, if you're going to write an article about talk radio, you must talk to me. Otherwise, you have not, it will be an incomplete article. And so he did, and I said something, and I forget what it was, but it was pretty heavy.
Right?
Yeah. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what'd you say? I mean, you can't just say that.
I don't know. It was something I forget. Oh, I know what it was. I said what we do on our show, no other talk show can do. And I said we seem to serve a segment of the spoken word talk radio audience that is really had it up to here with just the same political talk over and over and over again. I see there is a significant amount of people who are tired of that. And he said, well, what do you think, it's going to get bigger or smaller? I said, I think it's going to get bigger.
You said you think it's going to get bigger.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah, that's a Freudian slip. You went, oh, no, I think it's going to get bigger.
I didn't go bigger. I said...
No, but you did. You said, I think it's going to go and then bigger.
What? Yeah, all right, okay, so it was a Freudian slip. Maybe it'll get smaller, I don't know. As long as we can make a living, what do I care? God, 877-876-PHIL. Now, one of the stories we want to do here this hour, this is our news hour, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way. We wanted to, you know, fulfill our promise, because I think this is an interesting article about blogs and the relative profitability of blogs. And who's making money with these blogs? Everybody blogs or thinks they can. Everyone somewhere along the line wants to write some kind of an online blog. Well, there is now, with this article, the 10 most profitable blogs, a list created by Newser and a website called 24/7 Wall Street and our own Jason Rantz, who is our show producer. And it's 24/7 Wall Street is out with its fourth annual ranking of the 25 most valuable blogs in America, with the caveat that valuation is as much an art as it is a science. Well, now, ain't that convenient?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, I really think it's fascinating. We live in a day and age where everybody wants everything mapped out right down to the last decimal, but then all of a sudden, well, you know, it's a little bit of an art. Everybody wants proof positive of this, that, something else. The value of many of the most significant blogs have increased in the past year. As the economy showed some improvement, and advertisers were willing to pay more to reach audiences online. All of the blogs on the... You know, what's going through our economy right now, folks, is a fundamental shift of a number of industries. Okay. I don't know, but... It could be something as significant as the Industrial Revolution was. Now, certainly we're not seeing an entire agrarian economy suddenly shifting over into factories and urban production. Nothing quite that profound. But, you know, in a lot of ways, we are seeing the traditional workplace where people, for instance, would commute to being supplanted by the home office and the telecommute. And we're seeing large industries like in my business, broadcasting, where we had these plants, radio stations, networks, buildings with news offices and studios are being replaced now by the individual entrepreneurial radio show such as mine. One guy does news, another guy does a radio show, another guy does something else, Kim Commando, so, you know, here, there's a weekend guy, everybody with their little studios, and they all link up when they need to link up to create a radio station. And that's pretty profoundly different from what we used to do. And we're also now taking a look in Detroit at how to make automobiles that will actually compete with some of the brands that have sold successfully internationally that are going to be, going to be the kinds of cars that we are going to want to buy because we're not spending an arm and a leg on fuel. We can't do it anymore. We don't want to do it anymore. We finally got the word, man. We finally got it through our heads. I ain't spending $5 a gallon anymore on any of this stuff, so you guys had better get with it. Oh, well, you know, well, there's a big shift going on in Detroit. So it is in the world of information. The number one most profitable blog on the internet, according to Wall Street, 24/7 Wall Street, estimating blog audience size by considering several measurement sources, not all of which measure every blog on the list, but the number one blog, they say, is the Gawker network of sites. Gawker. Valuation, $240 million. You ready for that? Controlled by founder Nick Denton, it includes Gawker, Deadspin. Aha, who are we just talking about, huh?
Yeah, those are the guys that had Brett Favre's thing in a picture and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they did. Jezebel, Jalopnik, Gizmodo, whatever that is, Lifehacker, and several others. The Gawker Network, they claim that its combined sites have just over 20 million unique visitors. Audience research firms do not give any reason to doubt those figures, and they actually seem to be low. The sites have about 235 million page views a month. This is a network of sites owned by one guy, or controlled by the founder. They are, their 2010 revenue is estimated to be $53 million. Now, that is a company that is not experiencing any kind of a recession. They're not laying people off. They're not downsizing. They're doing just fine. Number two, the Huffington Post, valued at $150 million. The large news and information blog is more than 20 million and 7 estimates page views per month of 180 million. Attempts by the company's new management and sales staff to raise the quality of the site have worked. Huffington's revenue for 2010 will be close to $28 million. The company, however, is very expensive to operate and has an extremely complex publishing platform. The firm has more than 150 employees and many additional editorial contributors, some of whom are paid. Huffington management said the company would make money this year, and 24/7 numbers project a very modest operating profit. There's $28 million that they're going to pull in revenue. Now, that's the Huffington Post. That surprises the hell out of me.
Why?
Well, it's a very politically biased, or it was anyway, politically biased post. I mean, in terms of they are very liberal. You would say the Drudge Report is very conservative, but the Drudge Report is conservative in some of the stories. Most of the stuff that the Drudge Report does, most of it's just they just link news sites. And we come to the Drudge Report. Number three, $50 million the Drudge Report is worth. $100 million less than the Huffington Post. That, I'm telling you, that blows my mind. So Matt's business is worth $50 million. Drudge would be worth more, but its value is highly dependent on the fate of founder Matt Drudge. The site's unique visitors are higher than last year, up about 30% to 13 million. That may improve as the midterm elections near. Drudge posts its own figures for visitors on its homepage, but the numbers are ridiculously and inaccurately high, according to Wall Street 24/7. The quality of the site's advertising has risen. Based on 24/7 Wall Street's page view estimates, Drudge revenue in 2010 will be nearly $13 million. The company is very inexpensive to run, and the estimates of Wall Street 24/7 put operating income at $6.5 million after sales costs are taken into account. That's what it costs to operating income? $6.5 million. Number four is Pop Sugar Media, $40 million. I never heard of it. 14 million unique visitors a month the company delivers to a large audience and is only moderately dependent on its founders and is inexpensive to operate. Pop Sugar has more than 12 major branded sites, several of which target visitors outside the U.S. Revenue based on 24/7 estimates $11.5 million.
I never heard of Pop Sugar. Was that like for kids or some deal like that?
I don't know. Number five is McRumors, $37 million valuation, the leading site on all things Apple. The probably improve the quality of its advertising. What is that, the quality of its advertising?
Well, I mean, like if they got pop-up or they got animated, you know.
Mm. Number six, the Cheeseburger Network, valued at $35 million. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would be hearing about highly profitable blogs that maybe you've never heard of before in your life? Number seven is Perez Hilton, $32 million. Perez Hilton's site is valued at $32 million. The celebrity news site, which is an increasingly crowded field dominated by large media companies, has 6 million unique visitors a month. Advertising is sold by the Blog Ads Network. Revenue for the site is $5.4 million. Perez Hilton has an extremely small editorial staff and nearly no general and administrative costs. That's the biggest thing about the web revolution, that these companies are making enormous amounts of money compared to the overhead they have. So here's Perez Hilton. It's him. And how many guys do you think they have?
Well, he's probably got a guy that oils it up.
Will you shut up, man?
Come on, man. He'd probably have maybe a half a dozen to a dozen.
Probably. Then we have number eight is the SB Nation Network. Yeah, a network of blogs which covers nearly 300 teams. Oh, okay, so it's sports. Number nine is Funny or Die. That's Will Ferrell's site. Funny or Die, $24 million, a site that aggregates humor videos based on whether viewers think they are funny or should be killed. A cross between something and something, and YouTube. Founded by a number of well-known comedians, including Will Ferrell, the site says Funny or Die has offices in Japan, Madagascar, and Bahrain, nine, which is probably horse dung, and nine full-time employees in Washington, and an elite private security force consisting of 400 soldiers. And six attack helicopters.
Really?
No, man, they're kidding.
Well, why would they put it on there if they're kidding?
Because they're kidding. Funny or die? Are you kidding me?
Well, why do they need attack helicopters?
They ain't got any attack helicopters, man. They're joking, okay?
Yeah, but how do you know the value of a company if they're going to lie and tell you that they got a helicopter?
Look, dude, whoever values these companies, valuates these companies, doesn't take the word of the guy who runs the company. Oh, yes, we have attack helicopters and a force and a security force. They're going to look at it themselves, man. They're going to appraise it themselves. All right. So that's, and then number 10 is Mashable. Page views of 40 million, revenue 7.2 million, valued at 20 million, staff and freelance contributors close to 30. None of these places, with the exception of Huff, she's got 150 employees. None of them have more than maybe 20 or 30 employees. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Lawrence O'Donnell takes heat for a comment he made about Michael Steele. Lawrence O'Donnell is a former NBC entertainment television producer of West Wing and things like that. Now they've given him a show on MSNBC. In other words, he's an amateur, and he sounds like one. And we'll play it for you. Plus, you're going to see a bunch of Justin Bieber costumes this Halloween, like you needed me to tell you that. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
How many O'Donnell cuts did you say we had, bud?
Got four. The Lawrence O'Donnell, and here. Here's another one.
You don't have to stick it up in my nose, man. Are we supposed to have four Lawrence O'Donnell cuts or not?
Yeah, four Lawrence O'Donnell cuts. Yeah.
Well, we only got three.
No, I just gave you the fourth one.
You gave me the fourth one, and I loaded it into WaveCart, and we got three. Is it called O'Donnell? Is it called something else? 1, 3, 4. That's all I got. That's all I'll ever have. So I don't know what you did, man.
What I did? You're blaming me. I got the four there.
If you got the four here, how come I only got three? Three. T-H-R-E, three. All right, well, we'll just roll with it. MSNBC host apologizes to Steele for master comment. Using the typical lack of humor and style and artfulness that characterizes the MSNBC amateur host, Lawrence O'Donnell had to apologize to Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele for not being funny, for not even being close to funny, for being some TV guy who was given a TV show to be a host to entertain and go and make people laugh or whatever the hell he thinks he's doing. O'Donnell issued an on-air apology to Republican National Committee Chair. This has got nothing to do with politics, folks. This is just an ongoing commentary I do about the state of broadcasting where some guy that was a producer on a TV show decided, well, you know, I'd like to be, would you like to do a TV show? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we'll stick you over on MSNBC because we don't want to lose you as a producer and a writer. You do really good episodic and entertainment programs. Well, okay, but if you want to keep me, I want to have my own talk show and everything about it and stuff like that. All right, fine. God, pain in the ass. All right, well, put him over on MSNBC. He'll get lost over there. Great. Well, he ain't getting lost. MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell had to apologize to Michael Steele after receiving a call Wednesday from Steele criticizing comments the host made on the previous night's show. O'Donnell, a former Democratic aide, said that Steele's real master is the RNC. Steele, an African-American, took issue with the suggestion that he was dancing for his massa. The interview was pre-recorded, so Steele did not hear the O'Donnell introduction during their chat. I called him back immediately and apologized for using the word he found offensive, O'Donnell said Wednesday night. Those of us who are not descendants from slaves can never know the full impact of the word master in the ears of an African-American man. Michael Steele told me it sort of stung. Kind of like when Keith Olbermann said that Michael Steele was self-hating. You people at MSNBC, I mean, no offense, but you talk about white boy. Just, I mean, you're about as white bread as it gets, and you cats like to talk the talk. Every time I flip on your channel, man, I'm looking at your pasty white pink faces.
That is true, man. I haven't seen any black man on there in many, many years.
Well, when have you ever seen a black guy over there?
Because that one guy that's on ID and he's really good.
Yeah, he's dead, man.
Who?
That Harold Dowd guy?
Yeah, I love him.
He's dead.
He's dead? When did he die? I just seen him on TV just about 25 minutes ago or something.
He died back in August, man. He died of a heart attack.
Well, I can't feature that anymore. I get a good black guy, and he dies. They also got that Tamron Hall, but I only know that by reputation.
What do you mean?
Well, is it a man or a girl?
I think it's a man. No, I think it's a girl.
It's a woman. Tamron Hall's a woman. You just saw Harold Dowd 25 minutes ago, the man's, but yes, he passed on in August. He's a very good reporter. And yeah, he's very entertaining and great to watch on those shows. In fact, I put a little...
That would have been, I started, said R.I.P. Harold Dowd. Is that why you done that?
I did it on Twitter, yeah. Not that anybody knew what the hell I was talking about. All right, so conservative blog The Daily Caller poked fun at O'Donnell's apology because in the same segment, the host seemed to take pride that he apologizes when others don't. Oh, God. They wrote, isn't an apology where you express regret for making a mistake without at the same time smugly patting yourself on the back for being awesome enough to apologize? The goal, Mr. O'Donnell, is to never apologize because you know what you're doing and what you're saying at every moment that you are doing and saying it because you're a broadcast professional. That's the goal. That's the goal. Here is now, on his MSNBC show, The Last Word, Lawrence O'Donnell made comments RNC Chairman Michael Steele found offensive.
As the first congressional election during his party chairmanship approaches, Michael Steele is dancing as fast as he can, trying to charm independent voters and Tea Partiers, while never losing sight of his real master and paycheck provider, the Republican National Committee.
All right, so, you know, it's kind of like Lynch and a bunch of stuff like that, but if you're a liberal on a liberal-leaning or progressive network, you got to watch that, man. You aren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, man. Like a right-winger can do it, and everybody just expect that.
That's right. Right-wingers say master, and he'll say, well, I didn't mean that. You know, I meant something else. You say, well, you're insensitive. Quit. Why don't you quit being so sensitive? Whereas the cats over at MSNBC, they got to apologize. Send me cut two, will you, Rance? That's what I'm missing. That's what I've been missing. That's what we don't have. And that's what you didn't send. Cut two. I don't know what you just sent me, man, but I don't need it. All right. O'Donnell says he told Steele that he was very, very sorry for making those comments.
I called him back immediately and apologized for using a word that he found offensive. Those of us who are not descended from slaves can never know the full impact of the word master.
Is that
in
right?
In the ears of an African-American man.
Thank you.
Michael Steele told me, quote, sort of stung.
And then he said, white man, if I ever see you after the sun goes down. All right, Chips actor Larry Wilcox goes from a cop to a real-life criminal. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hoo-hee.
Phil Hendry.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. The website is philhendryshow.com. Thousands of hours of archived material of the Phil Hendry Show. We have downloads there every day. We're making new downloads. We also have our daily show, a daily podcast of the show, our mini podcast, our classic Phil podcast, and, of course, every night, live video of our show, the live video cast and on-demand video. And if you've got a mobile phone, that is an Android or an Evo phone, you can watch mobile, you can watch our video cast, and soon we'll have it on demand for you if you have an iPhone, which is what I have. I've got the iPhone.
So you can't look at it. You can see on demand when they do it.
Yes, exactly. Now, I don't know, you know, what technology, you know, YouTube uses to make their videos available on an iPhone, and I don't know what technology some of these other people use to make their videos available on an iPhone, but that's what we're going to do. But as a radio website, as a radio show website, we're pretty far ahead of just about anybody, to be honest with you, in terms of what we got on the site. All right, three decades ago, the actor Larry Wilcox played Officer John Baker on the popular television show Chips. He was the guy that wasn't Eric Estrada.
Oh, yeah, that other guy, like a big redhead guy.
Yeah, I guess you could. Maybe he had red hair. I don't know.
You can't really tell on account it was black and white.
No, it wasn't.
No, man, it was color.
Well, it wasn't good, though.
It was color. You know, I could tell the cat had sort of red hair.
Yeah, but it was almost like the quality, if you compare that, for instance, to...
Come on, bud, and let me finish the story.
Oh, man.
Just trying to give you background.
Larry Wilcox played Officer John Baker on the popular television show Chips, when you compare it to earlier color. But more recently, he'd been on the other side of the law, at least according to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, before I read this story, and we all begin to salivate and clap our hands together and go, ooh, one of the guys that was on Chips may be a crook. Can I point something out to you? First of all, who's making the charge? The Securities and Exchange Commission. Who was in charge of overseeing whatever violations Bernie Madoff might have been responsible for? The Securities and Exchange Commission. Who dropped the ball when investigating Mr. Madoff, or the possibility of investigating Mr. Madoff, for almost 11, 12 years? The Securities and Exchange Commission. Who stood there with their thumb in their rear end at, oh, we didn't know until it was too late? You got it. So when the Securities and Exchange Commission says that Larry Wilcox, who used to be on Chips, may be responsible for this, that, or something else, I take it with a grain of salt. I don't know about you.
That's a good point, man.
Good point. I think it ought to be a standard operating procedure of life for all of us. When you hear Securities and Exchange Commission, you should just, like, go, you know, because... Mr. Wilcox, who lives in West Hills, California, that's near Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, I was just saying, I looked it up on Google Maps.
He was among a handful of supposed penny stock promoters whom the SEC charged on Thursday with securities fraud, accusing them of various illicit kickback schemes. One of the schemes the commission helpfully pointed out in the first paragraph of its statement announcing the charges was perpetrated by an actor who starred as a police officer on the long-running television show Chips. Well, that's just fantastic, SEC. I bet you're real proud of yourselves that you're popping Larry Wilcox of Chips. See, I'm not gonna take the bait. I don't take the bait. I'm not getting all giddy, and I'm not gonna be at the water cooler tomorrow talking about Larry Wilcox of Chips. This is deadly serious business, and this is the SEC that had its thumb parked all those years when Bernie Madoff was making off with the store, with the cash register, with the furniture, with everything. According to the SEC. You know, what is it with you? What do you mean one of them is a guy that was on TV? Why don't you just report the facts, okay, Jack? The facts.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Exactly. According to the SEC, the story of Mr. Wilcox's scheme begins one fine afternoon when a Florida man named Anthony Maloney. Sure, his name's Anthony Maloney. Sounds suspect already. Very, very ethnic, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm kidding. No, according to the SEC, the story of Mr. Wilcox's scheme begins with a Florida man named Anthony Maloney, who was the chief executive of a purported holding company named TriStar Holdings. I've heard of them.
Yeah, man, they got that horror. Don't they do TV?
I don't know, but I have heard of them. Anyway, it's called TriStar Holdings. I have heard of them. In 2008 and 2009, well, you know, Wilcox is an actor, so I guess that's possible. So anyway, in 2008 and 2009, the commission said Mr. Maloney gave kickbacks to a purported employee pension fund trustee who in reality was an undercover FBI agent. In return for the trustee's purchase of tens of millions of restricted shares of TriStar stock. Liking the way the arrangement worked out, Mr. Maloney told Mr. Wilcox and another California man with a supposedly corrupt trustee and arranged for them to replicate the scheme for the dirty, no good with their own companies, with Mr. Maloney serving as the middleman, the SEC said. Understand, you guys ain't got a whole lot of credibility. Mr. Wilcox proceeded to pay kickbacks for two purchases of $800,000 in restricted shares of the UC Hub Group, a California company for which he serves as president and chief executive, according to the complaint. The SEC said the company claimed to be in the mining, energy, and global web television business.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lawyer for Mr. Wilcox did not immediately return telephone messages because he didn't want to talk to some pain in the ass from the New York Times who wasn't going to write an objective story, not even close. And why waste his time with a jackass that's out to get his client? Thank you.
What do you think about it?
You know what I think about it? I think that's the SEC's version, and we'll find out what happened. Maybe they're right. Maybe these guys are, maybe they're dirty. But, you know, $800,000 worth of shares. No, it was 800,000 restricted shares. And the money that they're talking about, tens of millions, and I understand that they've got to continue to do their job. The SEC sues people. They do not arrest people. The SEC sues people. They do not arrest people. So if they find that a criminal complaint has been sworn out, and the SEC can certainly go to the district attorney in Los Angeles and say, we have evidence of a crime here, that is evidence of something that violates the criminal code, well, then Mr. Wilcox and friends have an even bigger problem. But right now, what the SEC is probably going to do is sue these guys, civilly claim against them. The LA Times is citing a story by the South Florida Business Journal saying Larry Wilcox has agreed to settle criminal charges. Okay, well, there you go. They're the only source reporting the development. Larry Wilcox, the former Chips TV star accused of securities fraud for manipulating penny stocks, has agreed to settle criminal charges in the case. Wilcox reached a plea agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office for Southern Florida on July 2nd, according to a copy of the agreement obtained by the South Florida Business Journal on Thursday. He could face up to 5 years in prison.
Yeah, so much for you saying that they didn't, that they don't.
Okay, you're right. But I'm just telling you. All right, so they, you know, they were right. Or maybe they're not right. Maybe this guy's having to cop a plea because he can't afford a lawyer. Maybe they, you know, who knows? But I'm just telling you, when it comes to the SEC, I'm not going to be sitting there going, well, aren't they doing just a great job? So go talk to somebody else, man, if you want to hear that.
Yeah, but I mean, they're doing their job, man. You can say they didn't do their job when it come to that guy Madoff, but now they're doing their job. Can't you give them credit for that?
Give them credit for what, man? You tell me they're doing their job. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, how do I know they're doing their job? They were supposed to be doing their job with Madoff. Now they're making noise about this, that, or something else. Look, dude, I get all kinds of RSS feeds every day, just like you guys. I get a feed from the FBI. I get that FBI feed. All right? I look at all kinds of stuff the FBI's doing. And they're busting people left and right. They're busting cats. Mortgage fraud? Oh, my God. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe the stuff the FBI is digging up with people that are engaged in fraudulently selling, creating out of whole cloth mortgages. I ain't never seen the SEC involved in any of them. Not that they'd be involved in real estate, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but why can't you give them credit for doing this?
Because it's chicken crap. Because the only reason why it made the news is Larry Wilcox is a guy that was on Chips. It's chicken crap. They should have been minding the store, man, and they didn't. The other story here, because Bud wanted me to do this because he thinks Lou Dobbs is a great guy. I do too, Lou. You are a great guy.
Lou Dobbs is bitching. And that one time that I got to meet him, he is nice and everything.
He's a nice guy. Lou Dobbs, except he's a bigot. I'm kidding, Lou. I'm just joking around. Lou Dobbs used illegal immigrant labor. That's what the report said, and it turned out it was horse dung because I was reading up on this morning. In fact, Dobbs had this woman on his show who made this charge. Now, listen to this. Former CNN talk show host Lou Dobbs, who is known for his hard line on illegal immigration today, denied that he has ever hired illegal immigrants. And I'm going to tell you something else. He brought the woman on the show who made that initial report and asked her point blank, have I ever hired illegal immigrants? So listen to the story. I never have, nor has the Dobbs Group at any time hired an illegal immigrant.
What's the Dobbs Group?
That's probably the name of his company or something.
Is that the Dobbs Group? Is that the name of his family?
Yeah.
No, that's his company, the Dobbs Group.
What's that mean? Is that like company?
Yeah, man. Some people call it company.
No, like your company, man, Henry Radio.
My company's Henry Radio, yeah. His is the Dobbs Group.
It sounds very gay or something. Something about it disturbs me.
That's fine, bud. Thank you very much. And you too, Robert, for weighing in.
No, I just thought it was a Dobbs Group. It sounds almost like a cult.
It ain't no cult, man. It's the way some companies are called. Just hold on for a minute. Dobbs was responding to a cult.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Dobbs was responding to a story in The Nation magazine, now listen, alleging that he has relied for years on undocumented labor for the upkeep of his multi-million dollar estates and the horses he keeps for his 22-year-old daughter, that he relies on undocumented labor. Now, naturally, it being The Nation, they're going to emphasize the fact the cat's got money and he has horses for his daughter, which automatically means he's a criminal.
It does?
No, it doesn't, bud. What I'm saying is, when people read that, oh, they're going to resent the rich guy, so he must be doing something illegal to make all that bread. Hello, the guy's in TV, or was. The story in the Liberal magazine alleges that at least five undocumented immigrants worked in Dobbs' gardens and in stables where his family's horses were cared for. Dobbs, who called the story a fairly typical hit piece, a smear piece, interviewed the reporter behind the story, Isabel McDonald, on the radio show. He repeatedly asked McDonald if he or his company had ever hired illegal immigrants. All right? Now, in an interview on the Lou Dobbs Show with Isabel McDonald, the author admits that Dobbs' contractors used undocumented labor, but not Dobbs himself.
You and the Dobbs Group have relied on the labor of exploited, undocumented workers for years. You have had undocumented workers looking after your horses, looking after the grounds of your estates. And the question that I've been, Lou, the buck stops here. Did you ever...
Well, wait a minute, Isabel. You don't get the right to just keep talking and filibustering. I am now asking a question again. Did I or any company I own at any time hire an illegal immigrant of any kind? Let's say yes or no question.
Contractors did.
Okay, so here is the next segment. Dobbs refers to the author as a native. I don't know what that means, but the point is that Dobbs, she said no, was the answer. That's a bad piece of sound. Here is something.
Did you check the status of the workers who were laboring on your horses and on the ground of your estate in Washington?
This may shock you because, Isabel, you now sound like a nativist and a person willing to exceed the law because I have no standing, nor do you or anyone else in this country, in law other than Immigration and Customs Enforcement, in point of fact, and those working under 287G to go after the status of any one of these people.
The point is, Dobbs busted her when she said that he was responsible for hiring illegal workers, and she said, no, you weren't. She admitted to that. He called the story a hit piece. Dobbs, who was calm throughout the interview, you can hear that, responded that he does not have the standing to check the status of anyone and said McDonald sounded like a nativist for asking him to do so. He insisted that he wanted to have a friendly conversation with McDonald despite her outrageous claims and said she was trying to deflect and avoid his questions. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What? Nothing. 877-876-PHIL. Well, this is Friday morning, man, so the weekend is ahead of us, and I thought I would do this before the week is out. This is the story that you like?
Yeah, is this the one? Oh, this is bitching.
Yeah, well, I want to know if that's really true, though.
Well, according to the story in The Telegraph, and this is the one that Bud wanted me to do last night, we didn't have time, human waste used to power homes in Britain. Human waste used to power homes in Britain. All right.
If we could do this in America, it'd be great.
Well, I don't know why we can't. Human waste is being turned into renewable gas and used to power homes for the first time. A pilot project run by Centrica in a plant at Didcot Sewage Works, Oxfordshire, is the first in Britain. What, Robert?
Well, how come they got like five different names? I live in Centrica in Oxfordshire. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. It's just the way they do things, okay?
Yeah, I knew this guy. I live in Wiltshire, in Oxfordshire, on Thames River, zip code 342 or something.
Okay, so they got their own way of doing stuff.
Yeah, in Canada, they have a zip code like Z.
All right, well, let me finish this. I don't know. They do that in Canada. They do a lot of stuff in Britain. It's weird. I don't know, man. You know?
They're just one name of a town. Where do you live? I live in London, zip code, you know, whatever.
London, zip code, what? They ain't got no zip code. They got some postal code or something. A pilot project run by Centrica in a plant at Didcot Sewage Works, Oxfordshire, is the first in Britain to produce renewable gas from sewage for households to use. The waste is stored for 18 days and then turned into domestic gas, which will supply about 200 homes with power. The scheme sees sewage arriving at the Didcot Works for treatment, and then sludge, the solid part of the waste, is further treated in a process known as anaerobic digestion, in which bacteria break down the biodegradable material and creates gas. The gas is cleaned before it's fed into the gas grid in a process which takes around 20 days from lavatory flush to being piped back into your house.
That's nuts, man. I'll flush a toilet in 20 days. It's going to heat the house, Robert. What do you think of that?
Man, I can't wait to have my next bowl of chili. And then,
all right, fine. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, the...
What about the smell, though, man? Your house going to stink, especially your house.
No, your house will smell worse.
No, you clowns. Did you hear what I was saying? They break this stuff down with bacteria. They break it down to the point where it becomes a usable, actual, you know, powering gas as opposed to somebody's crap.
Don't smell like a fart?
No, dude. I mean, how... Let me ask you something. How commercially successful is that going to be?
Well, man, if this saved money, I would do it if it was my own dump.
You'd want to smell your own gas, huh? Piping into your house?
I wouldn't mind it.
Grow up, okay? Just grow up. The project is a joint venture between Thames Water, British Gas, and Scotia Gas Networks. And yeah, I'll bet they got a gas network, man.
Yeah, everybody in Parliament, or whatever they call it.
Anyway, energy experts believe that 15% of all gas consumed could come from human waste, sewage slurry, and food thrown away by households and supermarkets. It is hoped that if successful, the pilot project could be rolled out across the country.
Well, look, everybody knows, and everybody knows, from the time you're a little tiny kid, and how come they have not figured this out, I don't know. But from the time you light your first fart, you know...
All right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. The first fart I ever lit is like a blowtorch. And it...
Okay, man, I get it, all right?
Yeah, well, how come they can't figure that out?
Well, I guess they're figuring it out now.
Seriously, the first fart that I ever litted... What?
Will you let me finish this, man, and we can go down memory lane about the farts you guys light?
I lit one, man. It was like a damn... I'll never forget it, man. It was a Tuesday night. Sorry.
However, there are concerns that the investment is not there, as it is more expensive to produce renewable gas known as biomethane. Geroid Lane, Managing Director of Communities and New Energy at British Gas, said the renewable gas project is a real milestone in Britain's energy history and will help consumers and the environment alike. However, I won't go near it because I won't put the money into it because I can't make any... No, he didn't say that. So we'll see what happens. Charles Wagon, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our associate producer and screener, and our executive producer, Jason Rantz, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here each and every night. And don't forget, PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com. Downloads, podcasts. We have our on-demand video casts of each and every show. The only radio show worth looking at. In fact, tonight, you could have seen me crawling around on the floor putting paper into the printer. Have a very pleasant good morning from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.